Today on Once Upon a Time, we talk about mirrors, and lots of them. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, Oncers. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. After show, we are here doing Once Upon a Time After Show. I'll be your mirror episode. Obviously, I'm not Tiana. You can follow her at the Tiana Hobson. Unfortunately, she cannot join us this week, but...
next week, or the week after that.
Yeah, come on, T.
She doesn't like us anymore.
Get it together.
Not.
But she'll be back, you guys. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. But with me, as always...
Hey guys, what's up? It's Dakota T. Jones. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer and let the jokes about Tiana being stuck in the mirror world start right about now. that's why she's not here.
And that's one.
Yeah.
But I'll be your mirror. Really good episode. I'm glad we didn't have the whole flashback and present time. Everything was pretty parallel with this episode. But quick thoughts. Dakota, I'll start with you.
I was speaking to you a little bit earlier about this. I think it's one of the best episodes that we've had in a while. Like, I was very interested the entire time, totally engaged. I thought all the ideas were fresh, something kind of new that we hadn't seen in a while. And so I liked, even down to, like, the color schemes of, like, some of the scenes and, like, the camera angles on, like, the Evil Queen and, like, the colors behind her. They just have this whole way of making her totally... different person, which is obviously the point than Regina, but everything down to the camera cuts, the backgrounds, her outfits, everything. I just think this was one of the best episodes for me that I've seen for Once Upon a Time in a long time.
I gotta be honest, not my favorite. Not my favorite. There
Why
were
not?
Moments about it that I really loved and parts about it that I really love. I really enjoyed the way that we're handling the charming Snow situation. Mm-hmm. I loved watching that, but everything going on with Evil Queen and Regina and Emma and them being in there and then getting out by the end, it was kind of like a throwaway episode for me. You could have not watched it and moved on with the season.
Really?
You know what? You saying that is totally... I totally agree with you because it's not like a throwaway episode, but if you skipped this episode, not saying that you should, but if you skipped this episode, you wouldn't miss anything.
Yeah, you wouldn't miss a beat. We kind of... I was expecting to be there a little longer or for the stakes to be higher, mm-hmm. but they weren't, and that's what was confusing. Again, moments I loved and can't wait to break those down and talk about them, but in general, I feel like they didn't really think this one fully through mm-hmm. in terms of the whole season.
You know, even though it is still one of my favorite episodes, I kind of get where you're coming from because when you really think about it, if they would have totally not done the whole trapped in the mirror thing, technically we could have moved on without ever seeing all that kind of stuff. But I still think it's one of my favorites, but I do kind of see your point now.
Let's break it down.
Let's break it down. Let's start with Snow White and Charming because they pretty much bookended this episode. Mm-hmm. The whole sleeping curse is still on and off and on and again. What did you think of that montage of... them going back and forth.
I thought it was adorable. I thought it was so cute. And the whole time I was just like, oh, this is so cute. And I wanted to be like, oh, goals. But I'm like, maybe not goals because, you know, mm-hmm. you never really get to be with that person. But the fact that we finally saw Neil again, the baby Neil, I was so thankful for that because where
alive and
has
well.
He been?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, to our knowledge now, he is alive and well. So I did like that. I thought it was cute. And then at the very end, you know, like whenever the montage was kind of ending, you could tell Snow kind of wakes up and she's just sick of it already. She's like, all right, you know what?
Right.
One day has passed.
So this was part of the episode not progressing at all because we started exactly where we stopped where we started. But this part I actually enjoyed because as I told you guys last week, I am thoroughly in love with their love. Mm-hmm. I just am and have been from day one. But I feel like it kind of faded a little bit because I'm so into Emma and Hook, and I'm a hooker for life. So I feel like I got distracted with Regina and Robin, who I loved, and all these things. I don't focus on Snow and Charming that much. You just expect them to be consistent. Mm-hmm. But now we are shining a spotlight on their love, and it is really nice to see all the little things he's doing for her. When you don't get to use your words and you have to use your actions, and it's not even while you guys are both awake.
Yeah.
I love watching the breakfast in bed. I love watching the flowers, the video messages, all of that. I thought that was really cute, and it was unique, and I don't think many couples would do that.
Yeah.
It was quite adorable. I loved how they had the split screen action, because I don't think they really ever have done that in the show. And I think that was a great use of just, you know, editing and having the two parallels of both of them, what they do during their times they're awake and asleep. I thought that was just a good use of, you know, showing how they're both equal. But what did you think of Snow White saying about their story? Do you agree with what she said? Like, maybe this is our story. Maybe this is our normal. Do you agree with that?
I don't think so. I think for them to have everything that they've been through and then this just be their new normal, I can't see the writers obviously doing that. Obviously, we know. I mean, I would think that they're going to wake up and be able to be fine again, because that's always the pattern of the show, is they're okay and they always find each other and everything's fine. They may hold on to this for, like, the rest of the season. You never know.
Mid-season finale.
That'd be a lot.
This is major mid-season finale stuff. Okay. We're going to break it then. There's no way this goes into the springtime. I think people will be so frustrated because we are missing our Regina Robin love story, and we're missing our Hades Zelina, and we're, you know, there's not that much love left on the table, so we need some action going on. Soon they're going to start, like, passing notes to each other, like, hey, do you mind if, like, you know, I, like, kiss your shoulder because I can't even kiss your lips for long? Like, they're going to want to touch each other, you know? Yeah. So we got to wake them up.
I think that what you said earlier about, you know, you feel like they're kind of finally getting a storyline again, in a sense. I feel like for a long time there, their storyline was kind of getting a little stagnant just because, oh, we're always there for each other. We're cool. Everything's awesome. And everything was just always okay with them. And they kind of took a back seat as characters for a while everyone else's problems were kind of playing out. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited, even though it sounds bad, that they are having problems and difficulties, because in those moments, we get the best out of these two characters. We get the best of... They showed their actions, like how they love each other and everything. That really breaks through, and we can kind of really see how much they do love each other and how far they are willing to go for each other. So I'm kind of excited to kind of rejuvenate that old Snow and Charming type of feel.
Yeah, because their love is true love. Mm-hmm. I mean, true love's kiss and all that. But like you said, Roxy, it's the actions that are definitely showing, and because they can't be there at the same time, it's definitely the actions that are being heard and seen. But... there's Snow White and Charming. They're eventually going to work. It's eventually going to work out. And they're going to find each other, because they always do. That's their saying.
Yeah.
Like, I will find you. I'll always find you. They will always find their way back to each other. And that's what I love. And I'm kind of glad that, I mean, it sounds terrible, but, like, they're kind of off. They're having their own problems, but they're kind of away from danger.
That's true.
They're just sleeping in bed. Like, they get more sleep. They need rest. And, like, all the stuff that they've been through, they kind of just need to sleep a little bit.
Maybe this is a way for them to kind of take a back seat for a second and be able to take care of their son. Because, honestly, this episode, we saw Neil a few times, and it's like, okay, cool. Like, maybe because they are kind of, like, homebound, or, I mean, home... like, stayed at home, they are able to take care of their child, and kind of, even though they're not able to get together, maybe they're strengthening their relationship with their son because they're actually around for once.
Did either of you get super nervous, though, that one time they would kiss the other and they wouldn't wake up, they would both just be asleep and Neil would just be there? Because that was scary when nobody else was around. You know, the first couple times we saw them kiss, at least other people were there to make sure if both of them were asleep, then Neil would be looked after. What happens if you kiss somebody and he just doesn't wake up and you pass out?
That's what I thought was going to happen the first time, because Snow stops and then she looks at the mirror, and I thought she was going to say, oh, there's like a curse where he could kiss me to wake me up, but I can't kiss him to wake him up. So in that moment, I didn't think she was going to break the mirror. I thought she was going to say that she sensed like a protection spell or something like that. So I thought that was going to happen, and I was like, crap, like, what's going to happen if he doesn't wake up and then she has to sleep and then,
right, I'm just nervous for baby Neil.
Yeah. Can you imagine the outrage if both of them didn't wake up?
I love
that. I think from the montage at the beginning to, like, just carrying it through the rest of the episode, not once was I really afraid for them. That I always kind of felt that they were going to wake up after one another.
Yeah.
And so I never really thought anything threatened them that one wouldn't wake up. Mm. So I think they're good for now. For now. Eventually we'll... figure them out. But other people that I still can't figure out, Zelina. We have to talk about her. But Zelina and Belle, this is an unusual pairing.
Everybody's hashtagging Bellina. They're saying the friendship that we never knew we needed. That's like because it. We didn't.
What
is going on here?
That's my question. I was like,
you didn't like that?
Why do you think they put those two together?
I love it. I think it's so unexpected, and it's one of those things where Evil Queen, as we find out later in this episode, may have to make a tough choice, and she really honestly doesn't have Zelina's best interest at heart. She's just using her.
You think Belle has Zelina's best interest at heart?
I feel like Belle has an amazing heart, and whether or not she's thinking, I can get something from this person, I think that them hanging out might bring out the best in Zelina, and we can kind of get some kind of good Zelina happening.
So you think this is a real friendship?
I think it could be. I don't think it's right now a good friendship. I think it's they're working together, but I mean, how many times in life have you been paired up with someone to like work on a project or like back in school and you're like, I don't know this person. But then afterwards, after you like bond and you're like working together, sometimes they can become friends.
Yeah, but but one of these people has like murdered people, sent them off to horrible places,
but
killed kids.
Rumpel has done the same thing.
And he's a horrible dude.
And he's a horrible dude.
But Belle
he's
stuck around
worse.
With him for a long
so
time.
So she has bad taste in people.
She does. Maybe she can look after Zelina like a lost puppy or like a bad
no,
sick
but
puppy.
Like, can we get
Belle with anybody good?
Yeah, Belle doesn't need another bad person on her side right now. She just needs to be by herself. She needs some alone time, like refresh her, rejuvenate her life, and like cut the toxic people out of your life, and that's what she needs to do. She's trying to leave town. I don't blame her. Maybe she needs Zelina help to get her out of time.
Think about it again. What did this episode do? They set out to get something done. Belle wants to leave town. She needs Zelina's help. And by the end of the episode, Belle can't leave town and nothing changed. Like
Zelina has leverage over him, though. For now.
Kind of.
Not to call you out, Dakota. But we were watching this episode together and you're like, oh, Zelina can be good because if something happens to her, something happens to Rumple. And I'm like, but that's not good.
Yeah.
And what did I say? She didn't do it for... It was all for herself. It's not to protect other people.
That's
true. To protect herself. That's not good.
She's very selfish.
For the longest time, I literally had no faith in Zelina. And then once we saw a glint of hope, I was just, like, so down for it. And I think now I'm just kind of stuck in this, like, reality where I think that she's going to be okay.
I was with you on Team Zelina for a second, but she never does anything just to help anybody out. And now, at least when she was doing stuff to help one of her sisters, the Evil Queen or Regina, I was like, okay, she has loyalty to family. Yeah. Now she's doing this for Belle, but it's not really for Belle. It's for herself. And I feel like she would make out with Rumple if he would make out with her.
Oh, that's so weird.
There's just weird stuff going on with Rumple. And she gave him a heart attack. He had a heart attack.
Yeah.
He deserved
yeah, he did.
It's kind of unfortunate now knowing that like you can't hurt Zelina because you're going to hurt Rumple. As cool as that sounds, but we kind of still love low-key Rumple for just his character. But Zelina can go.
This is from...
I just love her. I don't know why.
Wikipedia says... Belle to me has always been a one-dimension character, and I think Zelina could possibly help her become a more in-depth character, maybe, but not romantically.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do. Because guess what? Belle's always been the same old, like, oh, well, everything's going to be all right, we'll figure out a way, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? If Zelina comes in, spices things up... Maybe not puts darkness in her heart, but maybe makes her more bad A. Maybe they could become friends, and then the good parts of Belle will rub off on Zelina, and maybe they can be kind of like sisters. I mean, let's be honest. You know, Zelina had a baby. Belle's going to have a baby. Zelina's pregnancy.
You want them to join, like, mommy daycare together?
Yeah, I do. I want that.
Women who've been tainted by Rumple.
Literally, though.
Their own group.
Wasn't it the Emma who, like, poisoned the onion rings for Zelina? It was.
Yes, it was. But, I mean, yeah, Belle tried to team up with Zelina so they could both get out. But look what happened. That completely backfired.
It did.
And Zelina's still stuck there. Even during the moment when Belle was like, now that we have the wand, can you hurry it up? Let's get out of here. And there was that one moment where Zelina was just like, her facial expression is like, no, I have the sorcerer's wand. I am the most powerful person in the room. I didn't know what she was going to do. I literally thought she was going to poof herself out and Belle was going to stay there.
Yeah.
The chat is just cracking me up right now. Price says, Rumple is a tampon.
What?
I don't even know what that
means. That's terrible.
Like, is that a good thing? Like a necessary evil? I don't know.
A necessary evil.
I love this chat. Thank you guys for joining us live on YouTube.
Love That's, it.
I'm just trying to think how that would come into play.
Like, is needed necessary, but also just ends up a bloody mess? Like,
yeah. Something along those
no
lines.
No pun intended, but really pun intended. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I can't. But yeah, during the whole Belzelina, they actually get the help of Jasmine and Aladdin to break into Rumple's shop to get the wand. What did you think of Aladdin?
Well, we needed to include Jasmine and Aladdin because where they been, though? Where they been, though?
Where were they last episode?
Right. So yeah, exactly. We needed them back. But I felt like this was kind of a weak mission for them. We just were trying to include them in the storyline. There was no need for Jasmine to be there, though I love her. She wasn't helping break in. And the only thing that was cute was the moment where they were like, you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, they were like, oh, we're not. It's like, yeah, you are. Just own it. You love each other. We know what happens.
I want more of them.
I want more of their storyline. Give me more.
Yeah.
We're shipping them, so throw them at us.
I know. Yeah. I'm ready for them.
I'm ready for, like, another episode. Yeah, we got one episode that was heavily Jasmine and Aladdin, but I don't think that was enough. That was just, like, how they started. But now we need another episode or just a few key scenes of how they play into today's story, Brooke. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But we do learn at the end of the episode that Aladdin also has the lamp. Genie's not in it, though.
And that's the thing, is we haven't seen Genie yet. Like, I want to see Genie, and I hope that they have flashbacks, because let's be honest, Once Upon a Time always does them.
Why do you think they ever see
that?
Genie?
I don't know why they did it where they have the lamp, and there's a version of a Genie, but not Genie.
Ooh.
It makes me mad, because
I'm having a prediction.
That's, like, one of my favorite characters in Aladdin. Like, I want Genie around. I want Robin Williams to come out of that lamp.
Do you think that's what it has to do with?
That Robin Williams?
They're trying to be respectful of Robin Williams, yeah, and so they're not doing,
like,
Genie.
He's a free man.
He's a free man now. He's gone. Yeah. Yes.
He's happy. So he's right. A free
That's
man.
What I thought of when I was watching it, but then I was like, I could be reading way too into this.
Oh, no. I think you're totally right. I did not even think that. No, I didn't. I think you hit the nail on the head.
You caught on early this time, and we're the ones in the dark.
Look at that, Roxy.
Great. My mind works in dark and twisted ways. Those are the only things I catch on to. Oh, boy. But I am excited to see what's inside there, because we don't know, and maybe it can help, but I kind of got the feeling that, I don't know, this ominous feeling that it's gonna hurt whatever we let out of that thing.
I have a prediction.
Okay.
I'm writing it down now, so
don't forget it, my brain is a mess.
I think you're probably right, and I think they are doing that out of respect for him. So I think that whoever is in the lamp is going to be the Genie, but there were just going to be like an unspoken rule that, oh, okay, well, the original Genie happened, but we're not really going to go back
to
it.
So Genie 2.0.
Yeah, Genie 2.0. Exactly. Ooh. I think that's going to be, and I don't know why I feel like this, but I think Genie's going to be a girl. I feel like that.
Hey, I got that Genies sense can too. Be girls.
I totally got that sense too. I don't know why. I felt like it was a woman.
Yeah. A little early prediction, but there you go.
Genies can be girls. I mean, it happened in Charmed. It happened in
the show. Emma Frost, 45, says the genie is Sidney the Mirror, who was freed by Snow's dad in season 1.
Ah, because he does have ties to Agrabah.
So you think it's going to be Sidney? Because we did talk about him tonight.
I didn't say he was going to be Sidney. But people are thinking that. Yvonne Soto says
Jafar and the Lamb.
That's what I have.
Ooh.
Thanks, Yvonne. Ooh, we're on the same wavelength. Yeah, that was my prediction. Thanks. So at least I'm not the only one thinking that.
Sarah thinks it's Jafar also. Mark says Jafar. Shane says Jafar.
Jafar. I think it's Jafar and Lamp. Like, you can read my
prediction.
That
would be really... Oh, yeah, you did write that down, didn't you? That would be crazy. That would be crazy. I don't know.
We'll get to it. But, of course, we got to get to the main storyline of this episode. Evil Queen causing trouble. Once again, we have Regina and good Regina and Emma. She has this plan to trap Evil Queen in the mirror. If we can't kill her, we can trap her.
Mm-hmm.
And that backfires on them so fast.
So hard.
So fast.
Like, but it's so challenging. How do you outsmart yourself? Mm-hmm. Like, if I split up into two versions right now, I try to think, like, you can't outsmart yourself.
I want to know what devious Roxy would be up to.
This is her. You want to know what good Roxy would be up to.
What she would be doing.
Yeah, because, like, even they're, not to jump ahead either, because there were conversations where they were having with, like Regina was having with Henry, but Evil Queen knew about it. So my question is, how does Evil Queen know all this? Mm-hmm. And is always three steps ahead of good Regina?
I think that's because she's, like, whenever they said, I have an idea, and they whipped out the mirror and Regina's little, what is that place called?
Her
sanctum yeah. thing. Whenever she pulls out the mirror, she's like, I have an idea. We're going to use this mirror. She's probably watching through that mirror already. She's probably, like, listening to their plan. That's my prediction. I think that's exactly.
Devious. So destroy the mirror, and then they kind of have a one-up on Evil yeah. Queen.
So they're like, let's use this mirror. But it's like, dude, she's watching you in that mirror right now.
Yes. So Emma and Regina gets trapped in the mirror land, where apparently Sidney used to live.
Yeah.
Because he made a home for himself. But they also... not to jump ahead. They find all these mirrors, and they realize it looks in upon Storybrooke. They're trying to get a hold of Henry. Mm-hmm. If they can't get out, someone else can get in.
Yes.
Break in. Do you think this plan was going to work all along, though?
I honestly didn't. I thought they were just going to find a way out. Even though usually someone saves them and has to come in to save them, for some reason I thought they were going to get themselves out of this one. But I like how it was kind of like the teamwork. It wasn't just like, oh, one person saved the other. Like, they both kind of had this plan, and it just kind of worked out.
I was so bitter during this part.
Why?
Were you?
Well, when we finally, what? I mean, skipping ahead a little bit, but when they are looking at Henry through the mirror, and they're like, help us, Henry, help us. That is so rude. Like, they don't know. He's standing there. He can't do anything. Like, they don't know that he can do anything. He's standing there. They're like, please, Henry, please. Like, so you want your child to have a black spot on his heart? Are you guys kidding me?
Are you talking about, like, at the very end when he's like, help us?
Yeah, they go right over to the mirror and they're looking at Henry and they go, help us, Henry, Henry, help us, Henry, help us. Can you imagine if they had died? He would have never forgave himself.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life, he would have been like, oh my God, I did this. I just thought, so unlike their parenting style. You would think that they would have been like, Henry, stay good, stay good. We'll figure this out. Don't do anything, Henry.
See, desperation. I kind of like that they didn't do that, because they always do that. Oh, do it for the goodness of your heart. It's like, no, you guys are my moms. Like, if I have to take a life, I'm going to have to take a life.
Kill the dragon?
Yeah,
kill the dragon. No, what? That's terrible.
Okay, if I was put in that situation, God bless that person who was the dragon, but, like, if it was going to save my mom, or for Henry's case, moms?
You would want your kid to become a murderer.
I'm saying
you.
If I was Henry, because I am his older brother, I would darken my heart for the sake of my mom/moms.
Okay.
Because like...
So that's your choice.
That's my choice.
So Yvonne in the chat says they didn't know about the heart, Roxy. But what did they think Henry was going to do? How did they think Henry could help them?
Well, because they said that they were like... Whenever they went to the mirror, the whole thing was is that they were going to get the dragon to blow the fire on the mirror.
But they knew about the heart.
Yeah.
Because even when the dragon was talking to them in the creepy voice, once Evil Queen was controlling the heart... They're like, oh, that's him. That's her talking. They knew about
it. But even if they didn't know about the heart, it's so rude to ask your son, to look at your son in the eyes and beg him, help me, help me. Like, are you kidding me? He's doing what he can, clearly.
Because maybe he didn't have an option. There was no other real option. Every time there's always like a loophole or a way out type of thing. And there wasn't another option. It was like, this is it. Like, we're going to die, or Henry. I feel like because they saw him through the mirror. So I think that... They saw him with the hammer and thought, okay, he's going to break the mirror. I think they thought that out, even though a normal person wouldn't think, okay, he's going to take the mirror.
Why did he break the mirror? I didn't understand that.
That way the fire could break through.
I think it was like you fight the mirror on both sides and you just like rip
the time. So you think that he understood what his parents were doing?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I thought, because I thought it was a kind of like a clear understanding. Yeah, they saw
that's what everybody in the chat saying, that they like were working together, and that they were trying to trick him by saying help me, that they knew that he would break the mirror. I didn't get that at all.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that was slow Roxy again.
Did you think that Henry was going to break the mirror? Because I saw that coming.
I thought he was going to squish the heart.
Really?
I mean, for a while I thought that, but then I could see it in his eyes. It was like, I don't know. And Hannah says, yes, Dakota, they saw through the mirror. That's what I think, Hannah, too. That's what I really think.
At that point, Evil Queen took the one-sided mirror spell off, and then it was a two-way mirror. I didn't think Henry was going to smash the heart, because he's too good. Yes, Roxy, I can understand your frustration, but I liked how they built up this moment of duress with Henry, so he himself forced to choose the good way.
Yeah.
He's a good person. Thanks to... you know, the teachings and raisings of Emma and Good Regina.
I like that Dakota's like, I want to just smash the heart.
I'm like,
that's rude.
That's why you like Zelina.
No, I'm like, that's rude to tell your kids to help you. Like, we're all like talking about this, and Marissa's like, just smash the mirror. Yeah. Marissa for the win.
Marissa for the win. We're over here.
Smash
like,
the mirror.
Thinking about who we're going to kill and how we're going to do it.
I was like, different mindset.
But what happened with the dragon?
Yeah, so the dragon,
you think?
I mean, we saw Henry take the heart, so
yeah. Ooh, yeah,
Henry now has possession of the heart, which probably he'll give it to Regina, and they'll probably find a way to get the dragon back, because the dragon's not dead, even though we thought he was a few episodes ago, but he's still alive, you guys.
That's a good point.
A lot of people think that the dragon is related to Regina, or Regina's dad, is what people were saying in the chat earlier.
Interesting. I'm trying to figure out how those two would be connected.
I don't know how that would work. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. But
I was worried for saying it earlier, so I wanted to
tweet it at me. Tweet at me your theories, because I really want to know.
I was worried for the dragon being heartless. And speaking of heartless, we have something fun to tell you, guys.
Yes, guys. Long before she was the terror of Wonderland, the Red Queen was just a girl who wanted to fall in love. And yes, even the blackest hearts once beaded red. So in Marissa Meyer's Heartless, which is the New York Times best-selling author, she dazzles us with a prequel to Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, which I think sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Love
that story. Gregory Maguire, author of Wicked, the best-selling Oz prequel that became a musical hit on Broadway, has to say this. In Heartless, the nonsense that is Wonderland gets a reverential makeover, full of heart and its own idiosyncratic character. Critics are already losing their heads, calling Marissa Meyer's best fantasy yet an unforgettable story of the evolution of the Red Queen from a young girl who's dreamed of true love and freedom to a madwoman best remembered for the phrase, "off with his head." My favorite line.
It's so good.
Ever. And calling Heartless Marissa Meyer's best yet is a big deal because she's already the author of amazing number one New York Times best-selling Lunar Chronicles, which is BuzzFeed's called Wonderfully Addictive, which I have heard of that series. One-starred review says, if you only read one fractured fairy tale this year, make it be Heartless. And even if you didn't know the background, the story would sweep you off your feet. Catherine is one of the most desired girls in Wonderland and a favorite of the unmarried King of Hearts. But she's an independent spirit with plans of her own. And when she falls in love with the handsome and mysterious court joker, their secret relationship will transform the entire kingdom. So find out for yourself why Marissa Meyer's Heartless is stealing readers' hearts all across the country. Then you'll want to give it to your friend for the holidays. Start reading it now. All you have to do is go to heartlessbook.com. That is heartlessbook.com. I said this last week, but I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
You're not the only one. The chat's talking about it right now. Chem0411. Marissa Meyer is an amazing author. The Lunar Chronicles are awesome. They're a great twist on the classic fairy stories. So,
excellent.
Really cool. And a lot more love in here.
Yeah.
Great.
I feel like it's cool because it's one of those things where we love Once Upon a Time because it has all these twists. And I feel like it would be awesome, you know, to read a series or even like a book that kind of goes off of that, because it's like our favorite stories. And if we just have like a different outlet to kind of explore our favorite fantasies.
I want to look at the Evil Queen and say, off with her head. That's what I want to do.
And fans of Once Upon a Time, the show, definitely watch the spinoff, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which is heavily involved with the Red Queen and all that. So if you like that show, you'll definitely love these books. I'm going to check it out because she has a great name.
Marissa.
Yes.
Exactly.
Not just for those reasons, but these sounds like great books. Definitely up our alley. Thank you, Heartless.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about Hook during all this, because I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the hooker for life.
Yeah.
So Tiana's not here to represent, so I'll represent on her behalf.
I'm You're just as big of a hooker. I am a bigger hooker than Tiana is. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. But all right. So
I'm sorry, Tiana. I'm not bigger. We're equally as big. I am as big of a hooker as you are. We hook the same. We're both hookers.
I'm like, okay.
And I'll be the hooker for her tonight, so okay. I'll make up for her behalf. That's what I was trying to say. But what did you think, being a hooker that you are, for Hooker for Life? That sounds so bad.
I know, you guys.
I was bummed that it took our people so long to figure out what the heck was going on. Like, how come Rumple knows, like, immediately, and our people it takes a little bit? So at least Hook got there eventually, you know? At least Hook did his due diligence and went there. And even with the voicemail from Emma, which, by the way, How crazy is that?
That
you could just make a voicemail from somebody.
Yeah.
Whenever Regina's the evil queen was like,
oh,
was like
the best
part. Yeah.
Did you see the phone light up?
Yeah.
Like it was like automatically
sent. That was so scary. Right, but I was glad that he went. But also, like, you okay, Hook? Because she knocked you out pretty hard, and you came back at her with her hook. But, like, did you get a concussion? Let's take you to the hospital. I want to make sure you're okay. Hooker for life.
Right. I was worried for him. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was a serious knockout. She hurled him right into the rocks that were just so conveniently there. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she put the voicemail on the phone. She might as well have just put the rocks conveniently there, for all we know.
Very true, very true.
And the sand, and the sky.
And everything. What I liked about all this, yes, it's terrible that Hook got knocked unconscious, but he's pissed enough to, like, actually go after the evil queen himself, so...
Yeah.
I don't want to see him
to do that with the hook.
It was.
That was crazy. And I was like...
He's mad.
I was like, I understand you're trying to stand up for your woman right now and for your people, but Hook, I love you so much, but do you really think that you're going to be able to accomplish something that, like, the Savior and Regina right now aren't? But he was helpful. He tried.
He tried.
Helpful. Thanks, Hook.
I like Henry and Hook in both these episodes. Hook for his valiant effort, which I'll give him that, but Henry, and also, yes, the Star Wars reference, and that we can all agree, but the fact that he chose good, because he was raised by good people, and he's surrounded by good people, makes me believe that he has good inside of him. And even Regina and Emma at the end, we'll definitely talk about Violet, but even them at the end, they're like, you know, we raised a good kid.
Yeah, and they have.
I like that.
And it took both of them. I think he really needed both moms to... become the person he is.
Oh, well, right before we get to Violet, but what did you think of Regina and Emma's moment when they were back in the Mirror Land, where Regina, like, actually admitted, like, I'm afraid to raise Henry by himself or by myself?
I love their relationship, and I love when they do open up to each other. I think it's when they're strongest. But I think she would do a great job. I think that now she is ready. I am kind of concerned, though, because... like we've been hearing about on the show over and over again, it's not black and white. They're not good and evil. They're both a little gray. And while Regina is obviously our clear choice and our winner, there are parts of her that are still bad. Mm-hmm. And there are parts of the evil queen that are still good, like the part that loves her son, even though she shows it in a weird way. So I almost feel like at some point they're going to merge again because we need some sort of balance.
Ooh.
And if they did... then my answer to your question would be, Marissa, that I'm scared for her to raise Henry.
Yep.
You know,
but
that's crazy.
In fairness, Henry's surrounded by more good than he is evil.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So it might be nature's versus nurture.
Yeah.
But you were saying?
Oh, I have some crazy freaking prediction that I think I will save, but I just thought of it now, and it just totally makes sense to me, and I think they're going to go this way with it. But
I think just say it. I want to hear.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really think that finally, after a while, like, if they cannot get rid of the evil queen, I have a feeling that she's going to be sent to the underworld and, like, become the new Hades down there. If they can't kill her off because they can't kill her because it might kill Regina, maybe, or whatever, but we kind of saw that was proven wrong with
They send
Jekyll
Evil
and
Queen
Hyde.
Down to Underworld.
Yeah. Okay. So they might send Evil Queen down there because that way she wouldn't die, which would kill Regina, maybe, allegedly. There might be a loophole.
Hmm.
But she might get sent down there to be like Hades, and then that way Regina can live in Starbrook.
Who is the Hades right now? Like, how is the Underworld
Cruella,
surviving?
I'm pretty sure.
Probably
I think
Cruella.
It's Cruella.
Okay.
I can totally see her ruling the Underworld. But my thing is, if you put Evil Queen down there, like, everything that we've tried to do against Evil Queen, she's always been ahead of us, and she's always outsmarted us. So I'm trying to think, like, how you can trap her down there without her knowing that we are going to blindside her.
I love what Sarah just said, though, and I think that this is more in line with the show than sending somebody to the underworld. Sarah says, Regina should reabsorb herself and do what we all do, live with all of ourselves, the whole balance thing.
Yeah.
Which I could see that.
Yeah.
Like,
I think I predicted a while ago that, like, if we can't kill Evil Queen, that she's going to just take her powers back.
Hmm.
Like, and
manage
do,
it.
Yeah. Like, we know she can be good if other people help her along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. All right, moving on to Henry and Violet. They were so cute in this episode. We got Violet
they
again.
Were.
I was so mad at Violet at the beginning. I was like, why is she doing this to my boy Henry? Why doesn't she want to watch 16 Candles? I don't understand. Great movie.
Right?
I kind of became...
Any John Hughes movie is amazing.
Yeah, I was pissed. But then...
And to do it twice.
once she explained, I felt better, but I am a little confused because the flower was magic, right? Evil Queen made the flower magic. And so he gives the flower to her. And now maybe is that controlling her? So is she lying about why she hasn't been seeing Henry?
Oh, you think it's a device to control Violet?
Because she said she wanted the night to go perfectly. So I was wondering if that, you know, somehow there's a spell on her now, which makes me nervous because I don't want her to break poor little brother's heart.
I'm going to become a very protective older brother here.
Yeah. I didn't think that. Like, there was a moment I realized, I was like, oh, he's giving her the flower that Evil Queen just gave him. But I didn't actually ever think that was controlling of Violet because it seems like Evil Queen does truly genuinely love Henry, and I don't think she would do that to him affecting Violet because that would affect Henry's happiness, and I don't think Evil Queen wants to destroy that.
Yeah, but she's always trying to control. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she was trying to control the situation.
Okay.
So people in the chat have different opinions on this. Some people are thinking yes, some people are thinking no. That's pretty much our panel also.
Yeah, very much.
Okay. Dakota, did you think that?
Think what?
About the flower controlling
Violet.
Honestly,
no. I didn't think that at all. I honestly thought it was just something that Evil Queen just kind of like gave to him, like trying to win him over and pretend like she's mom type of thing. I didn't think at all until you said that, and then I kind of went back. I'm like, oh, I guess I could kind of see something happening there, but I don't think so. But maybe, for all we know, I mean, every single thing that the Evil Queen does seems to have meaning. So whether it be the meaning to just try to blend in to feel like the regular mom, Regina, or to use that to be able to put a spell on Violet, I could see her doing that. I really could. I mean, she does everything else to run his life.
Yeah, that's true. But I didn't think it was to control Violet. Yeah.
Oh my God. Shailene says, maybe Evil Queen stole her heart and is controlling Violet. That's aggressive.
That's aggressive.
I don't think so.
That's super twisted.
But you know what? It could happen.
It wouldn't be beneath her.
Well, I don't know why it's more aggressive to steal somebody's heart and control them than it is to give them a flower and control them, but it just is. Like, don't take my heart, leave it right where it is. Give me a flower, control me if you have to.
If you have to.
I really would prefer not, but better than taking my heart.
Yeah, exactly. That's scary.
Ah, yes. Okay, so I did like this moment where Henry and Violet, even like they were both kind of admitting like how they felt, and Henry was like, I don't think I'm good enough for Violet. And even Violet was like, I don't think I'm good enough. I need all these labels, X, Y, and Z, all these teenager problems that are still so real with people.
Yeah.
I liked how they touched upon that.
And it's real with us today, but imagine how much more real it would be if you weren't used to this kind of environment and all of a sudden you came here. Like this, I'm sure this happens all the time to people who come even from different countries to here, and they learn about our culture by watching movies, and then they're just immersed in our school system, and it's like all of our movies still are like that. This is the jock, this is the artist, and we're trying to break the mold, but that must be a really scary feeling.
Yeah.
So I felt for her here, and I thought this was pretty realistic and interesting.
I thought it was realistic, and I thought it was kind of sad because I'm like, poor Violet. Like, she's not a jock, I don't think. I mean, she's a princess, but finding that, she probably is like, what's a jock type of thing? Like, she's learning all these things for herself. Well, and
had she watched Breakfast, you know, The Breakfast Club, she would have known. That's another John Hughes movie.
Yeah, like, I thought she did watch The Breakfast Club. That was her problem.
What was it? I don't know.
I think she
skipped out on two Hughes movies.
She watched Breakfast Club. That's why she's worried about the jock and the goody two-shoes, and you know? The nerd.
Jack the nerd.
Yeah.
I do like that they're doing that, and they're kind of making this separate type of thing where her storyline. I'm excited to see Violet's storyline. Sky Patterson says the live-action Beauty and the Beast final trailer drops New Year's Day. Not officially confirmed. I'm excited to see that fairy tale play out.
Because I thought that there was a trailer coming tomorrow.
We'll see. I'm excited for that.
That is amazing.
Yeah, on GMA tomorrow.
That's so
excellent.
Cool.
Well, I know where I'll be in the morning. yes, but I like those two. They're cute. Violet, we'll get her every once in a while. But I like how she's good for Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And then, of course, we have to talk about, like, probably the worst moment of the whole episode. Evil Queen and Rumple. Ick.
It's so gross,
it's
man.
It's so nasty.
Okay, you guys are going to hate me again.
You are enjoying this. Time.
I wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah.
You guys are going to think it's too much for me to say. I said it last week. But, man, they have these, like, close-up angles and, like, the noises, man. The noises just really affects me.
The sound effects were so It's like, gross. I want to take a shower. And I feel so dirty watching them.
Okay, you get what I'm saying, though? It's just like the noises, man. Like, it's already bad enough that they're kissing, but the fact that they got to get right up there where you can see their teeth and their lips moving and smacking and that kind of stuff is just
I don't get what Rumple's endgame is. Like, you want Belle to stay so bad, you hooking up with another chick, you put the bracelet on, you Rumple, you're a jerk, man.
He's like lost it. Like, he definitely has taken things to a new level.
Remember,
like,
when he wasn't that bad or pretended not to be that bad? Yeah. Where's that dude?
But you know
he's
what?
Not even trying anymore.
And he even had the threats like, I can find loopholes and I am a beast. Or like, he probably completely agreed that he's a beast.
Yeah.
And Rumple Stiltskin takes children. I'm like, dude, you're not pegging yourself up to be a good guy right now.
Honestly, I think that he acted out of like hormones, even though he's older. I don't know. I'm sure you still have hormones at that age, you know, like raging. Anyway, I think that
men can reproduce till death. Yeah. Do you know that, right?
Oh, that's right, because it's girls who are like, okay, anyway. Yes. So what I was going to say was, I think that his hormones acted up at the very beginning where we see, because he wants to be loved even though he's a beast. So the Evil Queen kind of like was there for him in a sense, and they kind of like did their thing. And then I think he, you know, when she's like comes in earlier in this episode and was like, I want to do stuff, and he's like, not today. And he kind of, I think he's like, you know what, no. But then after the whole Zelina thing.
Because it was Regina looking, I don't know.
I think it was because he just honestly kind of just, it weirded him out, and he just wants to be with Belle. But then once he found out, okay, Zelina has a one up on me, he's like, I'm going to use this whole seduction thing to get what I want. So she kills.
I don't know. I just, how could Belle ever be with him after this?
I don't know.
I don't think she ever can again. No, there's no going back.
And does that make you happy?
I loved her threat. Yes, that totally makes me happy, because I loved it that she's like, the next time I'm going to run so far and so fast away from you. I'm like, yeah, go girl.
It would make me happy if she followed through.
Yes.
But for some reason, this show seems to me like they want them to be endgame, and that is concerning.
Yeah.
Very,
I don't know.
That's concerning.
Gold going through male menopause, lol. Ivan. Sorry. I kind of just did a little brain fart there.
I hope Belle needs to just get far away from Beast, from Rumple.
I feel like she's
like, I'm not even calling him by his name anymore. He's just a beast.
I think he's going to do it. She's going to do it this time. I really, really do. Because we've seen it years and years, like, oh, on and off, on and off. Even this season, we've seen on and off. I think they were kind of toying with us there, like, oh, same old, same old. Oh, never mind. She's gone.
But I won't even believe it when I see it. I'll believe it on the last episode
of
the whole series.
Okay. Yeah, but do you think, like, if Belle actually does up and leave, do you think what would that do to her character? Would she actually lead the show?
And what would it do to the kid?
Yeah.
Is that a birth,
like,
that we're going to see
the
on the
Belle
show?
Character, if Emma DeRaven's no longer on the show, what would that do?
I would hate that.
I don't even want to think
I
about that, because we love Belle.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be the one leaving. It should be Rumple.
Yeah.
But
even though we want to keep him too, because we love his character so much.
Yeah, because we kind of we love to hate Rumple because he's there stirring the pot for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to see Belle gone, just not with Beast, with Rumple. I can't even say his name.
Christina says Rumble is literally, and then puts the poop emoji. And I agree.
It's true.
You know, it is kind of crazy, though, that they would give us all this chemistry for seasons upon seasons of them, and like the flashbacks and like everything with them going through things together, and like him going good for a while, and then him wanting to be there for the family, and then
we
not
saw her with somebody else, and we see now him with somebody else.
It kind of just like makes me think, what was all that for? I mean, obviously, it's real life. Like, sometimes things don't work out, and, you know, you get the whole backstory, but
Sky says, can we see Belle kill Rumple off?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
That would be
savage. Can you imagine?
The savagery.
Like, darken her heart.
She becomes the...
Yeah.
She could become the Dark One eventually. That would be interesting.
Ooh. What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't even imagine Belle being the Dark One, because I think she's too good to be bad.
I don't know. She's been hanging out with Zelina, so if you really think Zelina's all that bad, then maybe she'll poison her. Poison the water hole. All
right, anything else about this episode?
Sticking with the sentiment that I really enjoyed this episode thoroughly. I loved it. And I can't wait for next week, or not next week, because there's going to be a break, but then the next week after that.
2 weeks,
we have to wait 2 weeks.
We have no show next week?
No.
You can blame the American Music Awards for that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh my God,
ABC.
I'm just finding that out for you guys right now.
2 weeks. So, all right, so that takes us to predictions then.
Predicciones. bum bum bum.
Are they scary now, predictions?
No.
They can be. Predictions. All right. What do you think?
Well, that was my major prediction, was the Evil Queen was going to be sent to Hades, or to be the new Hades. But we did see the teaser for next week, so I can't take credit for this one. I think there's going to be some more poisoning of the onion rings to speed up Belle's pregnancy, because that's what happened with Zelina. Something's going to happen, because Belle does not have a baby belly. And then in the next episode preview, we see that she's like given birth, like full on,
yeah, 9 months birth. In
type of thing.
What if Belle loses the baby?
What would that do to Rumpel?
I don't know.
Would that cause him to go off the deep end? Not that he hasn't already, but what would that do?
But you really, I mean, I love that, but at the same time, like, we saw, like, what?
I love the fact that she might lose a baby.
I love the idea, because it's there.
I got it. It was just
I'm sorry. I don't love that.
Honestly, like, a lot of shows, when there's pregnancies and stuff, and something's, when the pairing, like, the relationship's not working, but there's a baby potentially involved, I feel like that's such a cop-out that shows do so often, that there's a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And I would like to actually see this baby do come to fruition, just to see what actually happens with Belle and Rumpel.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, of course not.
But what I was going to say was that we see all these flash forwards, you remember, of like the son, and you know how he hates his father and stuff? So is it kind of destined that the son has to be born? Or can that all be changed?
I think it can be changed.
Fate.
We've seen that on the show. I mean, talk about Emma stabbing the under the hood. We've talked about how that could be changed. I think everything can be changed.
So it's like fate isn't 100%. It's just maybe 95%.
You're looking at a potential possible future, I think.
Okay.
Well, we also, you know, thinking of like other evil babies potentially. Remember Maleficent's daughter? Yeah. Like, there was the whole idea, was she going to be evil? And we saw how Snow White and Charming made their terrible decision to affect their baby. Yeah. But, like, she turned out to be somewhat good. Mm-hmm. So I think it might have the nurture first nature involved in that. But, Roxy, what's your thoughts, predictions?
So I think that mid-season finale, we're going to get somehow the sleeping curse is going to be broken. Because I feel like the team isn't focusing that much on that right now. They're like, we got other things to deal with. So we gotta get our minds back onto it, you know? And then, I don't know, I miss Red, and I miss Mulan, and I miss our other players. So I'm hoping that we get some guest appearances soon.
Yeah.
It's less of a prediction and more of I'm letting you know my thoughts on what I want.
I completely agree. I think other people kind of agree with me saying that Jafar might be in the lamp.
Yes.
Because that could be the introduction of how Jafar gets to Storybrooke and could potentially be the person under the hood. As like, I think a lot of people guessed Jafar was under the hood, but like, if that were to happen, that's how it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It'd just be cool to see how Jafar ties in with Storybrooke, because we know eventually that's going to happen.
I agree.
So, and I loved how Emma, like, throughout this whole episode, like, tonight, she said twice, like, I have a death sentence. I was like, girl, you don't. Come on. Move on.
I think she even kind of knows, but she loves playing that card. Like, well, I may not be like, around.
I'm going to die.
It's like, okay, like, please stop. You know what? We didn't see one handshake this time.
Thank God.
Not one.
Maybe they heard our after show.
Maybe they did, and they're like, all right, we better cut this out. Like,
done. You know what's funny? I was watching... this might be a side tangent. I was watching Doctor Strange over the weekend, and his hands were shaking. I was like, see, that's how Emma's hand should be shaking. Like, not the overdone, but, like, actually, like, some nerve damage. It sounds terrible, but that's how you properly shake a hand when you're having problems on screen.
Yep.
All right, other than that, in the meantime, where can everyone keep following you?
Guys, you can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
Excellent. And you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. Follow Tiana at The Tiana Hobson. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining the conversation. Keep your comments and ratings and predictions and theories, because we read them all. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.